Hey, here's something that's wonderful. I went to my Facebook page today and I had two new likes. Two completely odd strangers liked my Facebook page and me, which is now, it's so wonderful. Now I can continue living in the light of the fact that two complete strangers like me. My life is now complete.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Absolutely. Hold on tight. Uh-huh. Things can get a bit weird.
Yes, they can.
If you like that sort of thing.
And I do. I do.
Whatever.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. So gangsta, sta. Welcome to the program. My name is whatever. Doesn't matter what my name is. It really doesn't matter. How are you, by the way? I'm sorry to ignore you. How are you? How's your dog? Really? Ah, seriously? Oh, your dog must be really cute. Oh, that's great. And what did your dog do yesterday? It was sleeping, and its paw was sticking out.
Aww.
And then it turned the other way, and its maw was sticking out.
Aww.
Oh no! And then you took it to the bathroom. To where? You took it for a walk to go to the bathroom to poop, right? And what happened? It squatted down, and a gigantic turd came out of its butt. Oh, it's so sweet. It's so sweet. Oh, it's adorable. Did you pick it up? And then what'd you do with it? You put it in a bag, and where'd you put it? Oh, you put it in a big garbage can?
Aww.
That is so adorable. It's so adorable. What happened when you got home with your dog? It what? It seemed to get sick? It threw up all over your carpet? It ruined your carpet? The dog ruined your carpet?
Aww.
That's adorable. That's just adorable. As I've said so many times on the show, if you have a baby that all of a sudden, you know, it's like 8 months old and the baby starts to walk and you go, oh, look, baby's first steps. Oh, baby's first word, it was daddy. Oh, baby's first word, that's so cute. It pales in comparison to when your dog does a poop on the carpet.
Aww.
That's just too adorable. That's just too adorable. Look at it this way. If your baby poops, you change the diaper and you get on with your life. When your dog poops, it's adorable. It's
just adorable.
All right, that's enough of playing that. I think we all get the idea. It's true, though. I think we have more affection toward our pets than we do toward our kids, which, in my estimation, is kind of proper. Your baby will someday grow up to be a fat slob, a cholesterol-eaten individual with a job and a nagging spouse and the whole bit, but that dog will always be a dog. that dog will always depend on you. The dog won't grow up to a point where it can just get in its car and just go to the store itself and get its own food. No, no. That dog will always, always, always depend on you. You will be your dog's only link with survival. The special relationship between a human and a dog transcends the relationship between a camel and a buffalo. A dog can use its paws to walk, to scratch on a door when it wants to go outside, but a dog cannot manipulate cans and open up dog food bags and pour water from a tap into a dog food bowl or a water dish. No, a dog totally depends on you. That's why there's a special relationship, and a special bond between dog and owner. A relationship that transcends the relationship between a human and a cat. A cat goes by itself in a box, covers up its own turds, and goes on its way. A cat doesn't want to play with you, will scratch your freaking eyes out if you get too close, spends its whole life with the attitude, fuck you, I'm a cat, I'll do what I want. Of course, when it's feeding time, you gotta feed the cat once every 2 days or something. You just dump stuff in a bowl and the cat comes over when it wants to, when it doesn't. A dog, as soon as that food hits the sound of that bowl, your dog's there with love, understanding, kindness. It's a special relationship. You and your dog.
Some girls love to run around, love to handle everything they see. But my girl has more fun around, and you know she'd rather be with me. Me, oh my, lucky guy is what I am. Tell you why, you'll understand. She don't fly, although she can. Some boys like to run around, they don't think about the things they do. But this boy,
at the end of the month, my dog and I are going to go to a concert. I take my dogs to concerts. My dogs like the Turtles because it's another group with an animal in its title. And it's pretty cool. It's going to be fun. I got good seats. I hold my dog up on my shoulders when the place gets rocking, so my dog can see better.
Some girls love to run around, love to handle everything they see. But my girl has more fun around, and you know she'd rather be with, yeah, she'd rather be with, you know she'd rather be with me. Oh,
Here's what the internet is good for. Porn, 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 really weird porn, porn, funny cat videos, porn, and the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting. You know, when you need a little break from all those funny cat videos.
Oh.
Those things can really do a number on your wrist.
I get it. Okay, before we continue this program, there are federal and state laws involved with internet radio broadcasting, as you probably are familiar. I must point out the exits in case of an emergency, and you're listening to this program, you need to know how to exit it. You press the stop button of whatever you're listening to this on, and then you go towards your nearest exit. I'll point them out. There's one over there. There's one over there. And I think that one's working. Try it out. No, not that one. Okay, no, not that. No, that, not that door. That's the door of the bathroom. Not that. That's the one. Yeah, try that. And there are also other rules and regulations in order to keep your sanity while this program is in operation.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host.
Yes, I am.
Do not attempt to try this at home.
Don't do that.
Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting
you
while listening to this show.
You all will.
Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program.
Absolutely.
The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux.
Absolutely not.
Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker.
And me.
And should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time.
Or at all.
The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants.
God, no.
Unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day.
But even then. Yeah.
Please refrain from loud conversation, as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program.
Good luck.
Your enjoyment of the program may vary.
Yeah.
It may vary greatly.
Really?
Please enjoy the show.
Try to. May have figured by now, the show really has no purpose whatsoever. Yet at the same time, it's delightful, isn't it? No? Oh. You know, you can contact me if you want to by going to ronvandamshow@gmail.com. That's ronvandamshow@gmail.com. There, you can drop me an email through the International Email Association of America. And tell me what subjects you'd like me to discuss, or if you have any comments about the show. If they're nasty comments, I won't read them, so don't even bother. I have a Facebook page, not that I did anything about it. I was told that in order to have a talk show, you have to have a social media page, which I do, but I don't use it and I don't go to it. Sometimes I'll pop in every once in a while just to make sure it's still there, but other than that, I don't check it out at all. But you can go there and like the page. I think that's what you're supposed to do. I don't know. Just go there. It's called New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. On the Facebook thing. I don't really care if you go there or not. It'd be nice, but whatever. Just in case you don't know, I do this thing Monday through Friday, every weekday, a new program. Yeah, I know. I know. I realize. Anyway, these two Jews walked into a bar. That's all I got. You wouldn't know if two Jews walked into a bar, actually, unless you asked them and stopped them and said, excuse me, are you both Jewish? And if they said yes, you could continue with the joke. Otherwise, you have no idea. Could be a Pope and a Methodist, which is also a funny joke. I think you'd notice if a Pope and a Jew walked into the bar, because the Pope would be obvious by the way the Pope dresses. The Jew, not so much. Oh, Anyway. Every once in a while on the show, I do get very political and very heart-throbby. I discuss topics that are of great concern to us all, both the environment, the political situation, the racial unrest, the police situation, all these kinds of things, finances, medical problems. I mean, we get into all that. We have interviews with people on just about every show of all different informative topics. I throw that in gratuitously to make the show seem like it's worthwhile, but of course it's not. And I say that in a kidding sense. Of course it is worthwhile. In any event, because I want you to walk away with something more than what you had when you began with us. And that would be acid indigestion. If you have that after the show, then I've given you something. I've given you something to take with you. And there's medication you can take to get rid of it, so it's not a big deal. Anyway, do any of you eat at McDonald's? I mean, this has nothing to do with anything really important, by the way. I'll preface this by saying this is not a real important thing here. Do any of you go to McDonald's? Raise your hand if you do. Okay, that's stupid because I can't see you. Now you have to tell me if you raised your hand or not because I can't see if you raise your hand. It's a one-way radio thing. Tell me if you raise your hand. That's stupid too because you can't tell me because it's not that kind of interactive thing. You're just listening to me. I'm not listening to you. So I don't know if you raised your hand or not, but I assume a lot of you did. And if you did, your life has been shortened, I think. There's a big controversy about the French fries. Some people are just really connected to McDonald's French fries, and I don't know why. I don't care for French fries much at all. They're like potato chips. Once you eat one of them, you're hooked on to it until the entire container has been exhausted. There's an old saying, you know, with potato chips, you can't just eat one. I think it was Lay's potato chips that actually used that as their slogan, and it was absolutely true. You can't eat just one. I had a joke, but I'm not going to go there. And I think you knew what it was too. French fries are the same kind of thing, but they're even worse for you because they are deep fried in every kind of fat shit you can find. Anything that yields fat and lard is what they are deep fried in. There is an ingredient in French fries that was exposed about 20 years ago, and McDonald's said, oh, okay, we're sorry, we won't do it anymore, but they do. And it is something that is of great concern to many people. Believe it or not, vegans and vegetarians eat French fries because there's no animal product in it. Well, indeed, there is animal fat in it, you doofuses. There is animal fat. True, a potato is not an animal. It's a plant, but you're deep frying it in the fat of animals and probably the fat of your ex-husband too. I don't know. I'm assuming. Here's what McDonald's has been doing that is really outraging a lot of people who are vegetarian vegans, others not so much, is they are adding beef flavoring to their French fries. They've been doing it forever. And a lot of people are saying, is that why McDonald's French fries are so good? I don't particularly find McDonald's French fries to be anything better than anybody else's French fries. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not a big French fry aficionado. Hello. However, McDonald's indeed does add beef flavoring to its French fries. And this is, I mean, to most people that are trying to kill themselves anyway, it doesn't make any difference. If you're going to die of cholesterol fat poisoning, if there's some beef thrown in, all the better. Who cares? But if you're a vegan or a vegetarian or whatever you call them, you don't eat animals, you've been eating, there's been beef, not chunks of beef, but beef flavoring from beef. And that's angering a lot of people because it is not stated in the ingredients that actual animal flavoring from animals is being put into your French fries. Now, that angers a lot of non-animal people. I totally don't give a shit. I figure if you're going to kill yourself by eating French fries all the time, well, I don't really see the difference. However, it's a controversé. That's the French pronunciation of controversy. It's controversé. Yeah. By the way, French fries, I think, are more American than French. Although French fries are consumed in France, but they don't take on the same wonderful beef flavoring, apparently. I really don't know. I think the worst thing this country did to other countries was not to set up military bases around the world. It was to introduce McDonald's to various countries. I think that was the greatest sin of all. And I'm wondering if there's a McDonald's in Vatican City. Do you think there is? Do you think under the Pope's hat there's a, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm going to say, right? Yeah, uh-huh. That's exactly what I was going to say. Fat is we need fat. I have plenty of fat in my body to pretty much take care of a family of six, so that's not a concern for me. But apparently fat is kind of good for you. Certain kinds of fat, a little bit of fat is not a bad thing. There's good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. I think that's pretty bad cholesterol, but I'm just saying that it's not horrible. It's not horrible. It's the amount of anything that you have. You don't want the fatty stuff. You don't want the fatty stuff.
Sure, I like a good burger. But for me, sometimes the best part of the burger gets left on the grill. That's why I'm headed to Burger Guy to try their new Big Gristle Deluxe. A full half pound of hand-scraped grill-hardened gristle, machine-pressed into a greasy patty, and smothered with Burger Guy's signature something-like-cheese sauce. And for a limited time, it's just $5.99 with a metric ton of fries and keg of soda. Sound good? Yeah, no kidding, huh? Hey, I'll see you at Burger Guy.
For a limited time only at participating Burger Guy restaurants. Please consult with your physician before ingesting reconstituted meat byproducts such as gristle. Burger Guy's something-like-cheese sauce has not been entirely approved for human consumption by the FDA.
You going to go anywhere this season? You going to get in your car and go traveling somewhere? A lot of people are doing road trips because gas prices, as you know, have leveled off on the lower side for quite some time now. And it becomes a feasible idea to go out on the road and drive around.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, I'm super duper. Thanks for asking.
Great. Nick Miles is an automotive expert. Boy, do I need one of those. Thank you so much for being with us today. Welcome to the New England-Boston area here. We talk about on the show taking car trips during the summer, even during the winter and fall and spring months as well. And we talk about places to stay and places to go, but we don't often talk about the vehicle itself.
Well, you know, that's an interesting one. This is all, I'm doing all this because the biggest road trip of its kind is taking place, kicking off out of the Motor Speedway in Atlanta, which is Mini Takes the States, and 70% of Americans are going to be road tripping this year, and that means that a lot of people are going to be hitting the road, and in celebration of that, I'm always trying to give people lots of tips about being prepared and being ready for that road trip. So there's going to be 1,400 Mini owners here who are going to be taking the biggest road trip of its kind, and we're just getting ready for that this morning.
Okay, good. So give me some tips about having a safe and enjoyable road trip.
Well, let's think about the vehicle to start with. When was the last time you checked the tire pressure in your spare? I mean, it's getting, it's making sure that the car that you're taking, And the last time you took the jack out because you needed to jack up something else in the house and forgot to put it back.
I didn't know there was a jack. Didn't know there was a jack in the truck.
Okay. Oh, you really do need an automotive expert, don't you? You know, those are the things I'm always reminding people. Mm. It's go through the scenarios in your head. What happens if you have a puncture on the road? Yeah. You know, carry an extra gallon of water. Carry a first aid kit. It might not be for you, but it might be for another motorist you come across along the way who needs just a little helping hand. Yeah. And then at the same time, you're going with kids. I mean, think about it. If you're taking this as a family, Think about that first aid kit. What happens if Johnny gets a bee sting? I mean, if you have a bee sting spray or a tick because you took a walk up or a hillside into the mountains, those type of things, you know, the sort of things that you run to your kitchen cabinet for, make sure you have those things inside the car. But I think probably one of the most important things I would say on the list is make sure you have Wi-Fi in the car. Oh. It can cost as little as $10 a month nowadays.
Really?
And boy, does it save you a lot of trouble from those kids asking, are we there yet in the back seat? Huh.
So you get that through your mobile provider? How do you get the Wi-Fi?
There's a whole bunch of great ways to get Wi-Fi now. You can buy, all the mobile providers provide really cool Wi-Fi setups for your vehicle.
Huh.
One of my favorite, AT&T have, you have a diagnostic board in your car, and the Wi-Fi actually plugs right into the diagnostic board. They'll actually give you the Wi-Fi device for free. It plugs into the diagnostic board. All you pay for is just add it to your monthly data bill, and it can be as little as $10 a month. And it sure makes a difference if you're looking for a hotel to stay or you want to connect with your app and find some really cool place to go visit on your Wi-Fi trip. You know, I always tell people, when you take a road trip, my friend, it's about the journey, not about the destination.
Yeah. You know, I think about that stuff in the winter. I put a blanket in the back and an extra ice scraper. But if it's not the winter, I never think about that. That's a good point. Good stuff.
Yeah, I think you just. I'm a very good visualizer in my life, and I sit there thinking, you know, what happens in this scenario? What happens in that scenario? and you can just take that extra 5 minutes in the car. That's pretty good. And you're going to think I'm a crazy dog guy. I have five dogs, so I'm always thinking about, you know, do I have an extra leash if the puppy chews through one?
Yeah.
Or do I have those type of things? I mean, you think about if you're going to take your pet on a road trip, make sure that, you know, you're staying in, looking at pet-friendly hotels. I mean, just run through your head about what happens every day. But the big point of a road trip, so I want you to think back to your childhood. I bet you everything that some of your best childhood memories came from road trips you took.
Absolutely.
Apart from the, hey, mom, she's touching me, portion of the road trip.
Wow.
There's all those great memories that you made.
It sounds like you were in my family. That's what I remember.
Every family goes through the same thing, right? You know, it's the back, keep the kids quiet in the back. And nowadays, the last thing you want to be doing is turning around and slapping knees in the back of the car. You want to be able to give the kids the iPad and then, you know, say, hey, guys, where are we going to go for lunch? Let's find somewhere cool. You know, and on top of that, in every state, there is stuff. When I'm traveling around the United States, and I know the roads pretty well, there are places that you can rediscover. There's places you can discover for the first time. There's old battleships, and there's all those sort of things. So you can find them on apps like RoadTripper.com or Waves or iExit. You know, finding great places to visit is always
fact that most people in their own states don't see as much as tourists do when they visit that state. It's kind of interesting. It's funny that you know as an expert you think ahead of all possibilities. My psychologist calls it an overactive mind, but for you it's planning ahead. I don't understand how that works, but anyway. tell me.
I'll tell you, if I could find a psychologist that I could take the patient, he might tell me the same thing.
Tell me more about what Mini is doing from July 9th to July 23rd.
So Mini Take the Stage is a biannual event. So the first one was 2006, so we are the 10th anniversary. This is an event where Mini owners get together. There's one criteria to join this event, and that is you have to be a Mini owner.
Got a Mini owner, sure.
So the Mini owners get together. There's going to be 1,400 of them here at the Atlanta Speedway. We're going to set off the 4,200-mile drive. Yeah. It's going to take us about 17 days, 18 states, 14 different cities. And the idea behind this is I chose to do this. I'm a Mini owner.
Yep.
I chose to do this because I wanted to do something along the road trip that was positive.
Yeah.
And so this year's charity and this year's theme is Defying Hunger. We have partnered with a charity called Feeding America, and the idea is that we're going to raise food and money to feed Americans. Now, if you think hunger isn't a problem in the U.S., you couldn't be more wrong. 48 million Americans have a hunger problem in this country, and especially during summertime, those kids that rely on school for breakfast and lunch, they're not getting any of that.
That's
so the idea is we're going to try and raise 800,000 meals in this trip. And we might have some numb bum syndrome by the time we arrive in Palm Springs in about 17 days' time, but at least we will have put food in the hungry mouths of Americans. And you know what, my friend? People really get into this. There's a lady in Michigan who, as every mini comes through, the city that she's in, that has baked a cupcake for every person on the drive.
That's a lot of cupcakes.
She's going to have about 1,800 cupcakes ready to hand out as people drive through, just because people are fanatical about having a good time.
That's great.
The other thing that surprised me, by the way, and one thing that Feeding America does really well is that around 45% of food that's grown in the United States actually goes directly to a landfill. And so what they're doing with the money that we raise is redirecting that to people's bellies. And that is, you cannot believe how much difference that is making to lives in North America.
Beautiful. Hey, Nick, that's good stuff that these people are doing, including yourself. How do we get more information about all of this?
The best way to do it is to go to minitakesthestates.com. That's the website. You can follow the route step by step if the route comes near you. Love to see your smiling face and waving hands at the side of the road as 1,400 minis go driving by. You can see the routes. You can also donate food and donate money to help the cause. And just find out more about what's going on. There's a lot of places that we're going to be visiting. There's going to be a lot of events along the way and surprises for everybody. And you can follow it day by day at minitakesestates.com.
Excellent. Nick Miles, automotive expert, thank you so much for the information. Hope your bum doesn't go numb. And have a
I'm not holding my breath.
Okay. Well, that's not the part I'm concerned about. Have a great trip, Nick. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
Hey. This is Bobby Marone, former heavyweight contender. But these days, you'll find me knocking out customers with the food at my restaurant, Betty's Cupcakes.
And that would be headshots.
Headshots. Take it from me, every meal we serve at Weenie World...
Headshots?
...at Headshots is a world champion. Whether you're a lightweight, middleweight, or a heavyweight like me... Bring your appetite to Charlie's Bait and Smokes.
Bobby, let's try headshots.
Two headshots. Try our new spicy chicken piazzole or some classic meatballs. And do you know where you'll find the juiciest, tenderest steaks in town? That's right, the Pet Depot.
Headshots again.
Headshots. We serve up a 28-ounce porterhouse that'll hit you so hard you won't remember eating it. So treat yourself to a night out soon at Wo Hop Fung's Authentic Chinese Laundry.
Wow, so wrong on so many levels. Headshots.
That's right, headshots. Every Thursday night, get 10% off when you mention my name, Bobby Marone. I'll see you soon at Mistress Elena's Domination Dungeon.
That explains so much, but headshots.
Headshots. You know... Maybe we ought to start writing these things down.
That would be what the paper in your hand is for, Bobby.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Good food, though. I went to a lunch yesterday at a place, I think it was called Bonefish, speaking of names of restaurants. I think it was Bonefish. It was a restaurant in Burlington, Massachusetts. And odd name for a restaurant because when you eat fish, the last thing you want to ingest is bones. So why they called it Bonefish Restaurant kind of doesn't make sense, because if there was a restaurant down the street that was no bones fish, I would go there because I don't want bones in my fish. But anyway, it was good food, and I did not have the fish. So I'm sitting at a booth, and I'm eating my food, and it was good. And all of a sudden, and the restaurant was almost empty. There were two other tables consumed there, and myself. In the entire restaurant, there are only three people. This is about 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday. I'm sorry, on a Sunday. And all of a sudden, the maitre d', who I call the maitre don't, was escorting a man and a woman in with a basket. And I thought, that's odd. And they sat them down kind of right next to me. And I hate that, because when a restaurant is almost totally empty, scatter your people around. I know it's more convenient for the wait staff to have everybody in one section of the restaurant, but it's not more convenient for me. When I go to a restaurant, I'm going there for the atmosphere and to not be mixed up with other people. You know, I'm there to have a nice, quiet, or environment-controlled meal. But for some reason, this maitre don't sits these people down almost next to me, like just like one table away. And what's in this basket is not fruit, ladies and gentlemen. Apparently what's in this basket, it was more of a baby carrier. It was an infant. Ron and infants do not get along all that well. In fact, I don't like them. They are crying, bitchy, loud, uncontrollable little entities from outer space. Fortunately, infancy only lasts little less than a year. After that, they're more manageable as things. But before that, they're uncontrollable noise things, and they're just annoying little pieces of turds. Now, if they're your baby, it's different. If it was my baby, it would be different. But why should I have to put up with your annoying little piece of crap? And it's seated like next to me. Well, I go through this process in my mind. Ron, do you want to go to heaven someday, if you even believe in that? Then tolerate. Just tolerate it. The baby's quiet so far. So just don't make a scene. Don't ask to have your table moved or anything like that. Just be cool about it. And I was. And for about 2-3 minutes, it was very, very cool. The baby never made a sound, didn't even know it was there, wondered if it was alive. Ron, that's a horrible thing to say. Yeah, I know, it's a comedy show. Give me a break. After 2 or 3 minutes, the maitre don't comes walking over again with another person who's carrying another basket, sitting down at that table as well. Apparently, this couple was joined by another person with another baby. Now we've got 3 adults and 2 infants sitting within earshot of me. And I say, Ron, all right, you're being tested by the deity, perhaps. This is a test. Tolerate it. None of them are crying yet. It's a horrible situation. Of all people to sit infants near, it would be you, Ron. But please, be tolerant. Try to mix in with the human race for just once. Will you try to do that? You were the one, Ron, that decided to go to a restaurant called Bonefish. You're going to have to pay accordingly. Now, this was a nice restaurant. We're not talking about a little deli place or Cracker Barrel here. We're talking about a nice, pretty well-priced restaurant, you know, with linen tablecloths, very highfalutin restaurant here, you know, very, very nice. I don't know why there are 2 little baby infants in this place. Well, you would think that would be enough to test Ron's inability to mix with other people. About 5 minutes later, 4 more people come in, are seated at this large table. It becomes large because another table is pulled together with it, and now it becomes a large table. Apparently, all these extra people were not part of the original plan. And the maitre d'hôtel comes in with more people and two more babies. Four babies now. There are four infant babies, all under a year old, sitting very close to me. And miraculously, by the hand of those above, miraculously, these babies do not make a peep. Maybe it was the Deaf, Dumb, and Blind Baby Convention of 2016. I don't know. What a horrible thing to say. But these babies did not make a sound. And I looked up to the ceiling, which is apparently where heaven is. Heaven is just above the ceiling fan. And I said, thank you. Thank you very much. The check came. I paid the check, as I do usually. Got up. And left, and no harm, no foul. I didn't have to change my table. I didn't have to make a stink. I was tested, and I passed the test. And I knew it was a test when it was happening, because when I got outside, I looked up to the heavens, and I do every once in a while look up to the heavens just thinking maybe everybody else is right. Maybe, yeah. And I actually said to the skies up above, I said, I have been tested. And I have passed the test of humanity. Then I walked a little bit further in this outside mall, and I saw a burning bush. And from that burning bush, It was the voice of God, I believe, that said, "Oh, very good, Ron. You've done a wonderful job today putting up with the babies. Very, very good job. You're very, very good. You did a very good job, Ron. That was very, very, very good." Well, so there you go. That's my religious experience. Didn't turn water into wine. Had to order the wine and pay for it. Nonetheless, I passed the test. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.